Baptist Church this morning. Thank you for the privilege to speak. My family are Ben back and Mateo and Adeline, so thank you, Westside, for having me. Now, if you didn't get any hint of what I'm going to talk today, what do you think? We've been singing songs about it. It's about kings and a king. See that picture? What is that?
A king.
A king. And what does a king wear on his head?
A crown.
A crown. Two bones, two in a row. But what does he do? What does he do there? He's in a horse. He's leading his army to battle. He's got a fancy cape or robe. But kings are really powerful people, aren't they? They have this crown on their head that symbolizes that they hold the highest position and they have authority. They give commands. They lead their people, and whatever he says goes. That's what a king is. Very, very powerful. And kings, do you think there's a king today? Is there a modern king today? There is, isn't there? There's one recently appointed in England. But the king,
where's my...
And I will tell you a story about the king, and this is a true story because it happened in history. And kings are... Before, in the past, they would fight battles and they would lead people and their armies to battle. They led by example. And they're powerful people. They're on their horses and they lead their armies. But long ago, there was a people, the people of Israel. You know the people of Israel? They were a nation, but they didn't have any king.
Well,
they did have a king. God was meant to be their king. But one of the people says, we want a king, we want a human king. We want to be like the other nations. Every country besides us have kings. We don't. We want a king. And so God was very sad about that because I thought, how was your king? But said, no, we want a human king. And so God says, okay, I'll give you a king, but be careful what you wish for. Right? Because kings, God warned them, kings will take all your lads, all your boys, and put them into the army. Want to fight the army? And all the girls, they can work for me in the palace. And they take their taxes, and they take their crops, and a king will rule. God warned them. But God gave them a king. He was gracious. And what do you think makes a good king? Tall guy, handsome, maybe capable in battle? Well, they picked one. They could look as a tall man. His name was Saul. And they put him up as their first king, human king. But was Saul a great king, do you think? You know your story, you know the Old Testament. Well, what makes a good king? It's not because he's tall, but whether he trusts God or not. But Saul, he wasn't the best king. He wasn't the most suitable king because he didn't trust God. And then God says to Saul, I'm going to put someone else besides you. And guess who they put next? A boy, right? A boy. This was during a battle, big battle against the Philistines. And there was a big, giant man. And I'll give you a prize if you know who his name is. I think I saw you first. What's his name?
Goliath.
Exactly. Goliath's a big man, and no one wants to fight him. We're all scared.
But this boy
says, I'm not afraid of him. I have God. He trusts in God. This boy called David. And so, I know you knew that. He went up there with his sling, defeated the giant man Goliath. And all the people were scared.
Sorry, his head cropped there, but
that's actually what happened in real life, too. His head did get crossed. But David was going to be the king. And David, this is King David, right? David played music. He was a musician. He played all the instruments.
That's a harp or a lyre.
And do you know the book of Psalms in the Bible? That big one in the middle of the Bible? That's actually a praise book. A lot of them are songs to God, songs of praise. And many of them were written by King David. He wrote many of them. Because he loves to sing songs to God. And David, was he a great king? Was he a good king?
Yeah.
He was a good king, wasn't he? Because he trusted God. You know what God said about him? He is a man after my own heart. But he, as great as David was, and when he reigned, he was considered the golden age for Israel. But was he perfect? He was a great king. He trusted God. But he wasn't perfect. He had his share of bad things too. You know what he did? He did something terrible. This is what he did, look. One day, this is what he made. This is, he made a promise to God. God made a promise to David. It says, let's read it together. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood. And I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That's what God promised to David. You will have a descendant, and he will have an everlasting kingdom. His throne, he will reign forever and ever. And does God keep his promises? He always does, yes. But you see, going back to David, he wasn't perfect. He had his fair share of mistakes and sins. This is what the promise about him. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will grow. You know who Jesse is? Jesse was King David's dad. And this was a promise that from his line, there will be this great king. But David, this is what he did. One day, he just stayed at home. He did a terrible thing by staying at home. Because you know why? Kings. There was a time when kings go off to war. They lead their armies to battle. But this time, David said, look, I'm going to take a day off today. What if I just lay down there at home, do nothing? You know, maybe it's a warning for us men too. If we are idle, we're called to lead, and we don't do anything, that can lead to very disastrous things. Because when he stayed at home, he saw a very beautiful woman. He was tempted, and he committed adultery with her. I know that's probably a big word. Hopefully you never come to know. But adultery. He took her as his wife, even though she was already someone else's wife. And to cover up that sin, you know what he did? He got her husband and sent him off to battle to kill him. Make sure that his head, you know, he put it in the very front. Have you ever seen those movies? Does the front guy ever survive that clash when he's in the armies? The front guys never last. And so her husband died. He committed not just adultery, he committed murder. David, a man after God's own heart, he committed those greatest things. And he was rebuked. See, that's the prophet Nathan. He says, David, you've done a terrible thing. You've committed great sins against God. But you know what makes David a great king and a good king? Even though he made mistakes, you know what? He trusted God. He confessed his sins. He said, Lord, I have sinned against you. I've done this awful thing against you. And God always forgives. But you know what? There's always consequences to sin. Always something. When we sin, there are very, very bad consequences. And in this instance, they had a baby, him and Bathsheba, but the baby got sick and died. That was a consequence of his sin. God forgave him, sure. And David was a good king for trusting God, but sin always has consequences. So I want us to play a little game, okay? Put on your quiz hat on. And this game is called Good King, Bad King. All right, let me explain the rules of this game. So don't get too confused. See that, the map over there? That's the map of the kingdom of Israel. But you see there's one in orange and there's one in red. Because you know what happened? In one kingdom, it got split in two. Used to be one big kingdom, and now there's one kingdom to the north, Israel, and then one to the south, Judah. It's kind of like Ireland.
one in the Northern Ireland, but it's a different history lesson. Israel is to the north and Judah is to the south. And each one of them had kings. Now, here's how we play the game. I'm going to call up the name and see how well you know. And whether, I'm going to say, did right or did evil. Okay, instead of good king, bad king. Did right and did evil. Did right when they trusted God and did evil when they rejected God. So at the very top there, that was when Israel was a whole kingdom. And then it split into two. So let's go with King Saul. What is he? Did right or did evil? Shut it up. Louder?
Did evil.
Oh, it's red. Now, it's actually not David. There was an interim thing. So there's Saul's son was Ish-bosheth. What do you think about him? There's no data, so it's kind of neutral. Neither or, not explicitly, either evil or wrong, so there's it's not quite binary. But David, do you think, what is he? Did right, that's right. And what about his son, Solomon? What do you think? Any idea of those? Shout it out. Did evil, did right? Again, you know, Bible is filled with all these great people. I wish it was easy to label people. Solomon. King Solomon, the wisest king. Remember, he's super wise. Isn't it the book of Proverbs? After the book of Samuel, Solomon wrote most of those. Very wise. I wish he'd taken his own advice, but he was wise, and yet, for such a wise person, he did so much foolish things. So that's why he's orange. Now, let's blitz this, okay? There's a lot of them. Let's start with Judah. The kingdom of Judah. Shout it out. Did right or did evil, really quick. Rehoboam. Quick. Abijam. Asa. King Asa. Oh, no, he did. Jehoshaphat. He's just guessing now. Jehoram. No. Ahaziah. What about the adults can join as well? Athaliah. Joash? King Joash? Amaziah, Uzziah, in the days of King Uzziah. Oh, he was a good one. Jotham. Good right, yes. King Ahaz. Hezekiah. Good king. Thanks, Gordon. Manasseh. Amon. For a bit of, not sure. Josiah? Yes, we name our boys after the good kings, right? Jehoahaz? Jehoiakim? Jehoiakim? And Zedekiah? Look at those reds. How many greens versus reds are there? Right? That's 6 out of 20 in Judah. That's what is that? About 30%? Is that a good number? I'll give you a bonus question, everybody knows. In the list of kings that are listed, there is one queen. Which one is the queen? Anybody? Never called that. Who's the queen there? Is there a queen in there? No. Anyone want to give this out? Athaliah. Well done. Athaliah was the daughter of the queen evil Jezebel, right? But anyway, what about Israel? Do you think Israel will have more good kings or bad kings? Do you think more good kings this time? Yeah? Well, I'll save us the trouble and I'll just blitz through this. Yeah. Any greens? Any takers?
I knew it.
Very good. You did call it, so here you go, buddy. Israel, the orange, the northern kingdom of Israel, every single one did evil. They rejected God. None of them. Judah had a few ones, but Israel, no. But you know what this list tells me? This long list? It tells me of God's patience. He was really patient with the people. King after king rejecting him, and yet he's patient with them. You know, when I said God made a promise, he also keeps his promises. And one of them says,
If you keep turning your backs on me, if you keep committing this idolatry and being an adulterous nation, there is consequences. There's always consequences to sin.
And this is what happened. See this country? The country of Israel and Judah? Well, it's actually very small. It's not even that big of a nation. Compared to massive. Look at that. Big superpowers like Syria, Babylon, Egypt.
But God cared for this tiny nation. He chose them. He loved them.
But the people said, rejected him. And so the consequences, Israel was exiled to Assyria. And they were sent there. The last king, the people were dispersed and they went into Assyria. And Judah was the same because they had rejected God. Now, Judah lasted a little bit longer because they had a few good kings in there. And normally when there's a good king, there's a longer period of peace. But Judah as well was given to Babylon,
exiled there to the east. Whenever there's sin and there's consequences, they're exiled to the east. Who's the famous king in Babylon? Anybody know the famous king in Babylon? Another question? Do you know anybody?
Nebuchadnezzar.
King Nebi. King Nebuchadnezzar was the famous one in Babylon. And who's in Babylon at that time? The devil?
Daniel
and his friends. Well done. Let's just give you one. Daniel, he did something three times a day besides eat his vegetables. What did he do?
He prayed.
He prayed. But you know, every time he prayed, he had his window open and he was pointing.
So he's over there in Babylon. Is there a pointer? Oh, yes. He was here in Babylon, but his window was always looking west.
He was longing to be back home. He's not at home. He wants to be in Jerusalem
to worship God. So he prayed and
with the hope that he will be restored in the west.
But you see, all these great nations, like Egypt,
the great pharaohs and their chariots and the great pyramids, where are they now? Where are they today?
What about the great kings of Assyria?
Who's the famous king of Assyria that you know? You hear Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible. Anybody? Any of the adults? Sennacherib? Is that a famous one? Maybe not. But Assyria, where are they now?
What about
the great kings of Persia? Mighty empire of Persia. Right? Where are they now?
What about this guy?
Know him? Alexander the Great? Where is it now? Great Kingdom of Greece.
Bonus points if you know his horse's name.
It's not Friday. What's his name? Horse's name? You know? Do you know? No. It's okay. It's not in the Bible, so it's not important.
But Alexander the Great.
Yeah, we'll remember his name, but where's his kingdom now?
What about these guys?
Famous one. Empire of Rome. With their legions and centaurs, I mean centurions. Where are they now?
Yeah.
Gone.
In Rome.
What's in Rome? The ruins of the Colosseum. My point there, guys, is throughout history, kings and queens and rulers come and go. Right? Even Queen of England, greatest, longest reigning monarch, but her reign ended. Kingdoms rise and fall. And that's what happened. People think we're great, but God says no.
And this is what happened
to the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. All those kings. And God made a promise. What happened to this promise? He says, there will be a king whose throne will last forever and ever. But there are no more kings. So what happened? Does God's promise still stand? You think so?
There's no kings and queens, like in England.
Yeah.
Queen
Elizabeth. Yes. That's right. What I mean is, they come and go, don't they?
But there's no
more kings in Israel and Judah. What about God's promise? Well, you know what happened?
After this, there was.
What's that? great silence. After the last king, before there were prophets, there were prophets that were declaring God's word. But no, after that, after the exiles, yeah, they got back. They got the smaller temple. But God was silent for most of it. You know, for a long time, 400 years, that's a very long time. You know, World War II? That's not even 100 years ago. It feels like ages away. 400 years. Until, you know what happened after 400 years of silence? What happened? Spoiler. But there was a great star in the sky. Right? Shining. That's right. It's one in the story. But you're absolutely right. That star was to point to this new king. Was it pointing to a palace?
No.
That's where kings are born, right? Royalty?
It was a stable.
It was a stable, you're right. But some guys spotted this from far away. Do you know what they are? Who spotted them?
The three ones.
But not they're exactly three, but yes, the magi from the east. Again, there's that east thing. Whenever there's an exile, God sends them eastwards. But when they're returning, they're going west. They're coming from the east. But do you think that the star pointed to a wealthy family, the royal family? No, you were right. It pointed into a stable. It pointed to this baby in a manger. Very unimpressive. Did anybody know it was coming, this great king? No one knew. It was night. Very few people, just his parents, a few shepherds. And the shepherds didn't even know until they were told. No one was looking for this king. And do you think that this king grew up in a nice palace, learning all the princess stuff and how to be king? Do you think he learned that? No, this boy was just like you, growing in stature and in wisdom. He was just like us, a normal boy. In fact, he did woodwork. Anybody did woodwork in school? He learned from his dad here, Joseph, learned a trade, was a carpenter. And that's what he did. He probably made houses and furniture. But this boy Jesus, as he was promised, he says, you are to call him the name Jesus. He grew up to be a man, and he was a great teacher. And he had followers, lots of them. And now this looks like a king, isn't it? Does he have a lot of servants? Can he command them? Say, look, all of you, my servants. Is that what the kind of king he was?
No.
Were people serving him?
No, he was
doing
that.
You can't, if I have more sweets, I give you all of them, right? But I already get one. But that's right. You know, this king didn't come to be served. He didn't come to serve you. Have you ever seen a king like that who would wash your feet? This is a great king. And this king as well wore a crown. Which one do you think he wore? The fancy silver one over there? Or which one? Crown of thorns. Why would he wear something that's painful? Something that, because he was a king, he needed a crown. But they gave him a crown of thorns. What about a great king that fights great battles and lead armies? Did you think he did that? He didn't lead a great army, but he did fight a battle for us. It's a battle that no one could ever fight. And a battle that we could never possibly hope to win. But he went into that battle alone. He did that for his people. He did that for you. If you trust in him, if you believe in him, he did that for you. And he won the battle. Do you think he fought that battle by himself? Do you think he won?
Yes.
When he actually died, do you think he lost?
No, he died for it.
He dies. Yes, you're so good. And I love it. I love the way you know scripture so much. But he died. But he was victorious. He was victorious. He won against the greatest battle that he could never win. He won against sin, and he won against the greatest enemy, death. He overcome the grave by the presence. And this is why Jesus is our greatest king. He was the promised one right from the beginning. And he made a promise. He says, I will come back again. He did come back 3 days, but he rose up and he went to heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father on his throne. He has done his job. And then his promise, I will come back. And this time, not as a small baby, this time, not with no one knowing about it, everyone will know. And that time hasn't come yet. And when he comes, the Bible tells us, he will have in the train of his robe. Can you read that? He's not just any king. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See that he's riding a white horse. Kings that ride white horses are coming off from a battle victorious. And this is our king. Now my question for you, is he your king? Is he your king? Is he your savior? Now if he's our king, then we're under his authority, aren't we? If he rules and if he reigns, then we are to be under and submit to his lordship. Do we follow what King Jesus commands us to do? Are we willing servants? Do you want to be part of his kingdom? Because his kingdom will never end. This is the promise that God made. David, his reign finished. His son, Solomon, and then his son, and then his sons, each one of them, their reign ended. But when it came to Jesus, he is seated on the throne right now. And his kingdom will never end. And so my prayer for you guys and for the rest of us is that we've come to know the Lord Jesus as our King, our Savior, and the one who loves us. Thank you guys for listening. Let me pray and then we'll sing the final song, crown him with many. Thank you, Lord Jesus, our King. Thank you that you reign even today. You have conquered sin and death. You are victorious. And thank you, Lord, for fighting that battle for us. You could never win it, but you did it. Thank you for dying and rising up again and ascending. And now we are called to tell people as we can about the King Jesus. He gives us good news. And so, Lord, for each one here, may we know you as our Lord, that we submit our lives to you every day to worship you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for all these little ones. May they grow up knowing you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well done, guys. Come to the house.